Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of a series that I've been doing for 5 weeks talking about how to receive God's best. That's the title of a new album that I've got, and it's also available in CD and DVD. And this week, I've been talking about God's Word is His blessing. Everything that is recorded in the Bible was spoken from God to some person. And then they wrote this down. And so this is the spoken Word of God, but it's recorded in a written form. But at one time, it was spoken. That's what a blessing is the spoken Word of God, the spoken favor of God. So all of this is blessings, and all we've got to do, as Hebrews 4:2, is mix it with faith and then speak it out of our mouth, and it comes to pass. And then yesterday I was talking about that not only are every word that comes out of God's mouth a blessing, but there are negative words. There are curses spoken, and it seems like that the curses, the negative things spoken against God's Word, against the promises, the blessings that He's given us, they seem to be super abundantly more of those than there is the positive words that line up with God's Word. So according to Isaiah 54:17, you have to condemn these negative words. You have to reject the negative things that are being spoken against God's Word. And they don't, you know, not every person that is speaking a curse is a witch that's got some incantation and a long nose and a mole on the end of their nose, the typical witch that was in Snow White. It's not that. They're well-meaning people. There are people that could just be reporting to you what the report says, but if it's contrary to what God says, it's a curse, and you've got to condemn, you've got to reject those words and stand strong in the things of the Lord. Boy, that's powerful. You know, I just don't have the words to convey how important this is to me. This is something I live by, and most people don't do this. Most people are intimidated. You know, I've given this testimony before. I won't go into the whole deal, but I had to get a physical for an insurance thing on this building that we're in. And because of it, they sent me to get one of these tests. And it's a long story, but after the test was over, I'd already witnessed to the doctor about my son being raised from the dead and all these things. And after the test was over, this doctor told me that I had a serious heart problem. And you know what? I guess he was just thinking that it's his obligation to tell me the worst case scenario and for liability reasons. If he let me go and didn't tell me that there was a potential of something wrong, you know, he could be sued or whatever. So anyway, he instead of just saying that, you know, there is a slight problem here, maybe you ought to go get this checked. That's not what he said. He said, you have a serious heart problem. He wrote out the name of another doctor. He says, you go to him today. Don't even go back to the office. You go get this checked out right now. We may put you in the hospital and you could have bypass surgery before the end of the day. And you know what? This was a word that was spoken against me. It was a curse. Now, most people wouldn't look at that as a curse, but if it comes against what God has said and what I'm believing based on the Word of God, then it's a curse. And I sat there and it took me just a second, and finally I just looked at him and I said, that's a lie. I reject that. And this doctor, he's just not used to being told that what he said was a lie. He just was shocked and looked at me like, what are you saying? And I said, you look at that chart and tell me that that says that I've got a terrible thing and I might need bypass surgery. And he immediately began to backpedal and he says, well, it shows that you are just a tiny bit off in one spot. It was a 15-minute test. He told me I could have quit after 7 minutes or 8 minutes. It didn't matter. I went the entire 15 minutes, and at the 12-minute and 32-second point, there was a tiny little deal. And he says, everybody's heart's a little bit different. You may be totally healthy, but I think we ought to go get it checked out. You ought to get another test done just to make sure. And I said, that's not what you told me. You didn't say that there is a tiny abnormality. It might be okay. Let's just check it again. No, you begin to confess over me that I had serious heart problems and I could have bypass surgery before the end of the day. And I said, you lied to me. And I got on this doctor's case. And some people think, well, how dare you do that? But you know what? As a result, I'm healthy as a horse. And I did go to another doctor and had one of these nuclear stress tests where they actually inject you with dye. And that doctor told me that these regular treadmill tests are 50% wrong. They're wrong as often as they're right. He said, you cannot really base anything on those. He said, this nuclear stress test is 99-point-something% accurate. And it showed I had the heart of a 17-year-old and there's no problem. But I'm saying that there's not very many people watching this program that if a doctor came out and spoke something over you, that you would just reject it and say, no, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And that's the very reason that you have so much wrong with you. I'm not saying that the doctor causes it, but I'm saying that you just let negative things be spoken and you are stronger in your fear of people's rejection. You don't want to offend anybody. That is more real to you than what God says. You're going to have to reverse this. You know, I had some people come up to me at the last Gospel Truth Seminar we had, and they began to tell me these diseases. And they said, this is a rare disease. Only one out of so many million have it. And I said, what are the symptoms? And they said, oh, there are no symptoms. I said, how do you know you have it? And they said, well, the doctor says I have it. I said, but there's no symptoms. It doesn't affect you in any way. And they said, no. And I couldn't help but say, why would you let a doctor tell you that you got this and this and this when there isn't any indication of it in your life? I said, why don't you reject this? And you could tell most of the people that was just a new wrinkle in their brain. They had never thought of this. But the doctor said it. You know, I've got a lot of friends of mine who are doctors. I'm not against doctors, but they're people. They make mistakes. I got one of my friends, and he left 2 sponges in a person after an operation. And because of it, they had serious problems, and they wound up suing him. And he had to settle for this and go in and take these sponges out. That's not because he's a terrible person. He's just a man. Doctors are people. They make mistakes. They're just practicing medicine. They'll even put it on their sign. Family medical practice. They're just trying it. They'll hand you a pill and say, go take this and see if this solves the problem. And if that doesn't, come back and I'll give you another pill. I'm not against doctors, but I'm saying they aren't God. And what God says about you ought to be more real than what any person says about you. You need to get to where you start taking authority and control of your life. And if God says that by His stripes you were healed, that means it's already been done. You don't have to ask for it and wait on God to heal you. God has already healed you. That's out of 1 Peter 2:24. It also says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is already on the inside of you. You put those things together. You've already been healed. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. Then all you got to do is believe it, mix it with faith, Hebrews 4:2, and then speak it out of your mouth. And when you do, then that supernatural power of God will begin to dominate your body. And yet most people won't say what God's Word says. They will say what the doctors say about them, what the lawyer has to say about them, what the banker has to say about them, what their in-laws, their outlaws. Everybody has to say. We will repeat that, well, it's the worst recession in the history of the world since the Great Depression. And we'll speak all of these negative things and say, I can't prosper. We got to cut back. And you'll go to speaking all those negative things instead of the scriptures, like in Genesis chapter 26, where Isaac believed God and sowed his seed in a year of famine and received 100-fold. Isaac prospered in a down time. And there's just so many scriptures it talks about. He will keep us alive in famine and preserve us out of the book of Psalms and other places. There's blessings that God spoke. But instead of speaking God's blessing, we speak, oh, it's a hard time. You know, I'm not sure we're going to make it. I'm not sure that we're going to. And what you're doing is you're cursing yourself. You're speaking death out of your own mouth. You need to reverse this. You need to say what God says about you, that by His stripes I am healed, that He supplies all of my need, not some of it, all of my need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that I am blessed coming in, blessed going out. You know, I'm trying to just get this point across, but we could literally spend the rest of our lives just going through the Bible and finding some positive blessing that God has spoken over us. And then you mix it with faith and you start speaking it and you condemn any voice that comes against you and tries to counter what God is saying against you. If you would do that, that is a recipe for success. That's how it works. But there are some of you that don't even know what God's Word has to say. You are so saturated, immersed in this ungodly culture that we live in, that that has more influence on you than what God's Word says. There are many of you that don't know all of the exceeding great and precious promises that God's Word has given to us. And so you aren't taking advantage of them out of ignorance. There's other of you that are watching this that you've heard some of the truths of God, but you are not focused on them. Instead, you are literally plugged into this world. And the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. And so even though you may have heard that God wants to bless you and supply your need in some area, it's not in an abundance in you. Instead, you are more plugged into this world, and that is influencing you and dominating you more than what God has to say. And so you just let the Word of God be choked by all of this junk that's in the world. There's others of you that are maybe trying to put God's Word first, but you haven't reached the place yet to where if somebody counters what God's Word has to say, that you're going to stand strong and defend what you believe. And there's many of you watching this program that just cave in because an in-law, because a friend, because a work associate is going to say something to you. And rather than you stand up and take their possible rejection or criticism, you'll just let them speak negative things over you. There are some of you that work at places where they're just talking about, oh man, I don't know how we're going to make it. You know, we're probably all going to be laid off. We're probably all going to go downhill. And you just allow those things to be spoken, even though that's contrary to what you're believing. You know some of these things I'm talking about, and you personally are believing for the company to survive and for you to keep your job and for advancement and promotion. And yet you wouldn't say anything because the other people around you aren't believing it and they'd criticize you. There are some of you that, you know, pray for the president, which the Scripture tells us to do, and pray that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. And yet people around you are just running everything down and speaking negative. Now, I'm not saying that we can't voice an opposing view, because in our society, in our democracy, praise God, that is an avenue that we have open, and there's nothing wrong with you voting and not just being in lockstep with all the Kool-Aid drinkers and you saying that this national debt is unsustainable. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about maliciously attacking people, and they will say things and they do things. And many of you know that to be wrong. That's contrary to what you're praying, but you won't stand up and say it because somebody might criticize you. And I tell you, you are not going to see the blessing of God succeed in your life if you are afraid of men. It says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare. And what that is, it's a word picture that Satan is out to stop God's blessing from coming into your life. He set a trap. And you know, one of the traps that he uses is public opinion, our desire to fit in and to be accepted by everybody. I don't think God made any of us to lack rejection. He created mankind for fellowship. And so there's something just on the inside of every person that wants to be loved and accepted, and you don't want to be rejected and criticized. And so that is universal. That is natural. But if you are afraid, if you are so insecure that you have to have every single person agree with you and you can't voice what you feel because you're afraid of their rejection, then you are going to be taken captive by the devil. You are going to be snared by the devil, and it will stop the blessing of God from operating in your life. You're going to have to get to a place to where you read the Bible and take this understanding that I've been giving for these last 5 weeks, that every promise, every positive thing spoken in the Word of God is a blessing over you. And you've got to mix it with faith, and then you've got to start speaking it. And not only do you have to speak it, but when anything or any person speaks contrary to the blessing of God that you are believing and speaking over yourself, you are going to have to condemn that, according to Isaiah 54:17. You're going to have to stand against this, and you're going to have to defend it. And if you would do that, if you would search the Word, find the blessings, mix it with faith, speak it out of your mouth, believe it, and stand against any voice, even your own voice that is contrary to what God's Word said, if you would do that, and if you would do it over a prolonged period of time, I promise you it's just a matter of time until that seed would germinate, grow up, and the blessing of God would start manifesting itself in your life. It really is as simple as what I've just described. But one of the hardest things you'll ever do is pull yourself out of this world system and spend the time that it takes to get into the Word of God and rightly divide it. You have to divide it. You know, for instance, I've been studying recently in the book of Psalms. And there's a lot of things in the book of Psalms that it is the Bible. It's the Word of God. I'm not saying that this isn't God's Word, but it was Old Testament scriptures, and people in the Old Testament didn't have access to all of the things that we have in the New Testament. And so you just can't take every single thing that is written here and just totally identify with it, because there's a change. We are now different. For instance, let me just read a few of these things that are commonly said out of the book of Psalms in chapter 50. This is David repenting over his sin with Bathsheba, and then he murdered Bathsheba's husband and took Bathsheba to his wife, trying to cover up the fact that they conceived a child outside of wedlock. And here's part of what David said in Psalms chapter 51 in verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Did you know people teach this and they embrace this? Matter of fact, I've actually heard songs. I've sang songs that are based on this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Did you know it was appropriate for David to pray this because he hadn't been forgiven? He was looking forward to forgiveness when the Messiah come, but it wasn't a reality. He didn't have a born-again spirit. He didn't have a promise that God would never leave him nor forsake him, Hebrews 13:5. And so it was appropriate for him to say, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart." It was appropriate for him. But it's wrong for us to pray this. You have to go through here and read this in the light of what Jesus has done. It says that now we have a new heart. This is part of being born again. God places within us a new heart. So for you to pray for a new heart, you either aren't saved and you need to get saved. But once you're saved, you don't need to pray for a new heart. You don't need to pray for God to not take His Holy Spirit from you, because He promised He would never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's wrong for you to pray this prayer. So you have to take the things that are written in the Word of God, and you need to study it enough that you can rightly divide the Word and not pray like an Old Testament man. I was just reading over in Psalms chapter 40-something, I forget what it was, where David was saying, "Kill my enemies, overcome them, destroy them, let me triumph over them." Did you know David could pray that under the Old Covenant because it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? But in the New Covenant, God told us to bless those who curse us, and don't resist and don't fight against them. Turn the other cheek. If somebody sues you and takes your coat, give them your cloak also. There's a difference. You can't pray those same prayers that David prayed. Now, you can pray it in this sense, that you can say that flesh and blood isn't my enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you could say, people aren't my problem. It's the demonic power operating through them. And you can fight against the devil and want to see the devil's demise and see the devil destroyed. And you could take these prayers of David and apply them not to the people, but to the demonic powers that operate through them. You could do it in that sense. But I'm saying you have to take the Word of God and recognize these are God's words. You need to interpret it in the light of our new covenant and understand this. It takes some effort. And most people just aren't willing to put any effort into it. I tell you, I get really put out at my Gospel Truth seminars. There's some people who are honestly believing and they just need a push. They need a little bit of help. And I'm glad to pray with people like that. But there are so many people that come to me that they aren't believing God. They're just desperate. They want me to wave my hand over them and get them healed so that they can go back to watching and As the Stomach Turns on the television, so that they don't have to study the Word. I've asked people often, I said, what scriptures are you standing on? And they look at me like, well, what do you mean, what scriptures? I said, you know, the Word is health to your flesh. What scriptures do you have to stand on? Well, I don't know. Doesn't it say someplace in the Bible that by His stripes we're healed? They don't even know if it's Old Covenant, New Covenant. And it makes me mad because they're just wanting me to wave my hand over them. They aren't believing God. They aren't trusting God. They don't spend any time in the Word. They don't know what the Word says. I'm telling you, this is not the way that you get the blessing of God manifest in your life. It is going to take some effort for you to get into the Word and rightly divide it and spit out all of the curses that have now we are redeemed from them through Jesus. Galatians 3:13, and define the blessings and then mix it with faith and speak these things in faith and begin to get strong enough in this that if somebody counters what you're praying and believing, you stand up and condemn those words and you don't let people counter your faith. But you're strong enough to stand up and speak the Word of God regardless of what the results are. I'm telling you, I've just given you a recipe for success. If you would do that, search the Word, rightly divide it, that means that you're going to have to spend some time and get to where you know what the Word of God says better than you know the back of your hand. You do that, mix it with faith, speak it, and stand up and defend the blessing of God that has been spoken over you. And if you'll do that, you'll prosper. That's what this whole series has been about, is about how to receive God's best. And I promise you, every one of you need this. God has more for us than what I believe any of us are receiving. We need to be pressing, pursuing this goal of receiving God's best. And today is my last day to offer you the CD or the DVD set entitled How to Receive God's Best. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information. Remember, today's the last day, so you need to call or write today and ask for these materials. And then join me again next week as I continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Receive God's Best was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled God's Word equals God's blessing, free of charge.
Let me mention once again that today is my last day to offer you this new CD album I have entitled, How to Receive God's Best. We also have a DVD set as seen on TV, so you can get it either in DVD, the exact lessons that I taught here on television, edited, or you can get this CD set. But I promise you that this teaching on how to receive God's best is just fundamental. It's something that every person needs. And I don't believe most of us are receiving God's best. So we need encouragement. We need revelation in this area. And I think that this teaching could change your life. So listen as our announcer gives you information. Remember, today is my last day to make this offer available on TV.
We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, next week for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. In Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. And in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th. He'll also be in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. In Charlotte, North Carolina, for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 11th through the 16th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.